Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsive day for the 3rd of Elul. Thank you for joining us. Today we're going to discuss a responsive of Rav Ben Zion Meir Chai Uziel, the Sephardic Chief Rabbi of Israel, both before the State of Israel and just after it was established. This is from Volume 3 of Shut Mishpatei Uziel, from Or HaChaim Siman Ayin Chet, from responsive number 78. Questions about a sukkah. It's from the 3rd of Elul of Tuf Shin Bet of 1942. And the sukkah that was being asked about is, you have a sukkah where one wall has, on one side there's a wall that's 9 tefachim high and it's 2 tefachim wide. And I think the idea was they want to know if they have to count that as a wall, meaning it's not a valid wall because it's only 9 tefachim high, although you can extend from there up to, we can halachically extend from there up until the schach and count it as a wall, but there's another wall behind it. And the question one was, do I have to count this as a wall that stops the sukkah and it creates the space of the sukkah? And on the wall opposite it, there is where the opening to the sukkah would be, there is above the schach, there is sort of an overhang from another exterior wall, meaning if you're building a sukkah in between two larger walls. And so theoretically you would have been able to use the entire width of that space, but you build a wall of the sukkah which has an opening to it, that's the door to the sukkah, and then outside that door to the sukkah or above that door to the sukkah, there's an overhang from a building that is overhanging over the sukkah, and that's another two tefachim that it is going into the sukkah. Now that solid overhang prevents the schach from being real schach. So that would seem to mean, maybe, that you can't use that part of the sukkah because it has invalid schach on it, and that's two tefachim. So two tefachim is probably around 8 inches. And then on the other side, where we have an outer wall, but we have this wall of 9 tefachim high, and it's 2 tefachim wide. And the question is, do we have to count that as enclosing the space even more? Because if we do, that only leaves 6 tefachim of space in this area. So 6 tefachim of space is less than the Gemara said. The Gemara had said that you need a space of 7 by 7 tefachim in order for it to be considered a minimally usable space, other than that it's just too small to count as a sukkah. Now, in this case, the sukkah is double the width. So, in terms of square space, if 7 by 7 is 49 tefachim, you have more than that, you have 72 tefachim. So you have, if you're allowed to count the length as if you're allowed to count the area by square space, and as long as it's a minimum of 7 by 7 in area, you'll be fine. But that's a halakhic question as well. So therefore, there's three questions here. One is the question of whether the wall that is in the sukkah, that's 9 tefachim high and 2 tefachim wide, does that have to reduce the space and be counted against the space, which would mean that there's only 6 tefachim wide. It's only 6 tefachim wide if you do it that way. Then if the gezuzdra, the overhang above the second wall, makes that schach puzzle and you can't use it. And then third, maybe the square area could allow it to be used. So those are the questions that this man had raised with Rav Uziel, and he had given his own answers for why he thinks there's a way to be machshirit, the way he's ready to be allowed to use. And as he reviews them, Rav Uziel will react to them. So question, point number one is, he quotes a Sefer Dvar Shmuel Avohav, who was an earlier authority and a well-respected authority, where he talks about the thickness of a wall. He says, like gezuztraot habinuyot miklutz lechalanot, imshamshim bo leshulchan kedei laechol. Let's say you have sometimes right outside a window, you'll have some kind of an overhang built into the wall, and people can use it as a sort of table. So the question is, let's say I have a wall, I have a sukkah that's built sort of facing onto that, and I'm going to use that solid piece of something as a table. Can I include that in my shear of my 7 tefachim for the width of my sukkah? So in his case, I have, let's say I'm using the wall of the house basically as a wall of my sukkah, and then I build out the other walls, and the width to the wall of the house would be more than 7 tefachim. But in some part of the sukkah, I have this outcropping from the wall. People build these overhangs and outcroppings from the wall. And now I can use that as a table in my sukkah. So theoretically, I could say, well, it shouldn't take away from my width because it's really usable space within my sukkah. because using it in my table, can I therefore count it in order to make it into seven tefachim, in order to make it big enough? So let's just pause a second to notice that seven tefachim is between 2 and 3 feet, probably, depending on how you count the tefach. It's probably closer to two, but it's a little over two, probably 2 1/3 feet, 2.5 feet. And we're talking about people both hundreds of years ago and in the 1940s who are struggling to find a place to build their sukkah where they can even have that much space in it. So it's another example of how our standards of living very often are even higher than we realize and pay attention to. So the Dvar Shmuel agreed halacha. His halacha conclusion was that if this outcropping is strong enough to hold something, it to be like a table, the minhag is to be mekel, as if, and the kula though is, as if the ground of the sukkah reaches that point, and since there's 10 tefachim above that ground, you could also sort of stand on that. It's not just used as a table, you could walk on it, and you can make it like a flourish of the sukkah, and then it can really be part of the seven tefachim. But the Dvar Shmuel says, but I'm not sure about it, and I have hesitations. So if somebody came to him with this question, I think his answer would be, well, if you really have no other options, you could do it. But if you have other options, probably it would be better to build somewhere else. That's what libi nokfi, my heart bothers me about this. So that's one question. In our situation that he's being asked about, Rav Uziel is saying, in the situation he's being asked about, where the width of this wall is 2 tefachim, and it's a solid, stable, and permanent structure, then he thinks that the Dvar Shmuel would have had no problem with it. I'm sorry, the man writing him thinks Dvar Shmuel had no problem with it because it's so solid a structure. You could stand on it, you could walk on it, you could do this. But Rav Uziel says, I think that the Dvar Shmuel's question is still in place because his whole concern, the Dvar Shmuel's concern was, we have a Mishnah, we have a Gemara that says, Haitap Chuta Me'asara, let's say, a height of a sukkah was less than 10. That's another part of the need to build a sukkah the right way. It has to be 7 by 7 tefachim. Then it has to be at least 10 tefachim high, which is about, depending on you count the tefach, but it's somewhere around 36 to 40 inches. It has to be 10 tefachim high, a little over 3 feet. So the Gemara talks about, let's say it was, I think it might be Mishnah, talks about, let's say it was less than that, it was less than 10, and what you want to do is, you want to excavate the floor, right? You want to dig up some of the ground. Maybe they didn't have, they were talking about outside, they didn't have cement streets, they had dirt floors. So if I can just dig into the ground, I can make it into 10. So the Gemara says, if there's the distance from where I'm digging to the wall is less than 3, then it's okay, because then it can be considered the wall goes down into that space, and the wall is for that whole space of 10. The Ran says there, however, that that's only where the dig out that you do has the shear of a sukkah into it, meaning that it has to be 7 by 7 itself, because we have to create a whole space, a usable space of 7 by 7, in which there's a halal yud, because otherwise we have the problem of what's called a diras shulcha, that it's too cramped an environment to be considered a living space, and a sukkah is supposed to be a living space. And from there, the Dvar Shmuel thinks that that's true of the width as well, that if there's not 7 tefachim, it's not kasher, and the thickness of the wall can't join in because you can't move it around as you want. It's not usable space in that way. And that would mean that if you have a sukkah that's 6 by 6 and you're going to dig into the wall, let's say, a tefach by tefach in some way, you're going to find a way to do it to make it and use it as a table. So I think he means, although it's not clear on the tshuva, that you're lacking the 10 in height that you would need for that space, that area of space. So he's not sure about that, I think. Then the Ran of the Rush and many other poskim, many other authorities held that we hold like Beit Shammai, that a sukkah that doesn't hold somebody's head and most of his body at his table, so we need that it could be a place that somebody could live in. So it's less than 7 by 7. It's too cramped. The people just don't live there, and therefore, if you have a kotel, if you have a wall that's a tefach thick, the Dvar Shmuel says it would be a reason to passel it. And therefore, the Rav Uziel says, there's no reason to distinguish between a wall that's kavua or not kavua. He thinks, in fact, the fact that it's set and fixed and can't be moved makes it a reason for more of a psul. And he thinks that the Drash Shmuel was only going to be allowing, was only going to allow it as a, and to say that it's kosher, it's valid, is if he says that that place, Rav Uziel's final point with that Drash Shmuel was, is that he doesn't say that it's okay to Drash Shmuel. He says that I'm worried about it. The minig is to be mekel, but I'm not sure why I understand that. And that would mean that in our situation as well, it's a fixed wall, which is two tefachim thick. He doesn't see that that would be room to allow it. But, and then he says, and I think I have reason, though, maybe to say that I can allow it at first sight. He says the I have more reason not to allow it, he says, because I have a Gemara that points out that we say that the decorations in a sukkah don't take away from the dimensions of the sukkah. But Rav Ashi there says, if you have decorations on the side of the sukkah, they would. Meaning, let's say you only had to bear 7x7 in this sukkah, and then you had some decorations on the walls that stick out at tefach. Rav Ashi says that that's going to make the sukkah invalid, doesn't have enough space. And Rashi there says that, that when we say that, we mean that it takes away from the seven tefachim. That's the Rashi on the Gemara in Sukkah, Yud Amud Bet. And the Rambam and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch all rule this way. And that would seem to say that even if you establish the decorations, you know, fix them with nails, and they're well established and they're solid, the point is that it makes it that the sukkah can no longer hold as much as it needs to hold, and therefore it doesn't matter whether it's fixed or not, or whether it's permanent or not, and it seems to say that you can't. So then Rav Uziel says, and that to me is a question of the Drash Shmuel. He brings a Ran, and he didn't bring this Gemara. Right, so it seems to be like a perfect proof of this. And then Eli wrote, and he said, Drash Shmuel even wrote, and I didn't find anywhere that somebody discussed this question specifically. And you have this specific, this very explicit Gemara about the fact that things from the side don't count. That things from the side count against the size of the sukkah. Ulam, however, after looking to it more carefully, Rav Uziel says, he thinks that noye sukkah aren't the same thing. Because when menoye sukkah, when they are mima'it, when they get in the way of the sukkah, they do it in the entire height, the entire dimension of the sukkah. Right? But if they are lower than 10, we don't talk about them so much. And Rav Uziel assumes that's because when it comes to decorations, wherever they are, there's space above them that can then be used as usable space, and that's why they don't get in the way of it. And if that's true, then when it comes to the table as well, that's where you have a question about the wall. If the wall has some width to it so that can use it, so maybe above it can be considered usable space, and therefore maybe it won't get in the way. So that brings Rav Uziel around to saying that then already maybe we can understand reasons to be matir to allow it, as the Drash Shmuel had said people do allow it, although he's not sure of it, because after all, the reason for 7x7 is that we said people need to be rosho, their heads, rubo, the majority of their body, vishulchano, and their table. So Rav Uziel says, well, if you're going to have a table in there, then if you, let's say you built it and the table was there to begin with and it's fixed and it's set there, but it's still a table that's being used as part of the sukkah. So if you have room above it to use it, as we do in this case, because there's a width of two tefachim to this wall that's sitting there, I can use it as a table. I can step on it and use the area above it. It's got usable space. So therefore, maybe it should be okay. Meaning the fact that it's a wall shouldn't take away from the fact that it's also a table. And just like you're allowed to put a table into a sukkah, it would seem like, and we wouldn't say that that would deduct from the usable space, because this table is part of the usable space that's defined in the Gemara and the Rishonim as what we care about in terms of evaluating the size of the sukkah. So we should no longer call it a diras rucha, a too cramped a space to live in, if part of the cramping is the table that was the things you needed to use to begin with. So that's the way Rav Uziel thinks it. And Rav Uziel says that he thinks, he's written that he thinks his opinion is that if something is ro'i l'shimush, if you can make use of it, and he thinks it has to be more than 10 tefachim, because he thinks 9 tefachim might be too low for people to be comfortable using it, but if you could put something on it and you can make it usable, then he thinks it doesn't take away from the size of the sukkah, and therefore it should be okay. And he thinks that's what the Yerushalmi says, that when it says, it doesn't say, it says lo sof davar shulchano, elekidei shulchano. Not only an actual table, but it has to have room for a table. And as long as it has that, it'll be an okay size. And therefore, he thinks that this kotel, this wall, since it's 2 tefachim wide and 9 tefachim high, since you can use on top of it, you can make use of it, it's got usable space. Therefore, he doesn't think it takes away. And I think I'm pretty sure he means, and that above the 9 tefachim, you have another 10 tefachim high of usable space till the schach, so it's got the right height. He thinks that therefore it should be kosher, and you shouldn't have to worry about it. And that to him seems very clear. So, for all the Dvar Shmuel had concerns about using these kinds of spaces, depending on what it was doing or not doing, Rav Uziel's conclusion is that as long as the space above this wall, this short wall, is 10 tefachim high and usable, it should not deduct from the width of the sukkah. Then you have the question of the other overhang on the other side. That's where you have a sukkah, and there's a halacha that if you have a sukkah that's under a house, it's invalid because you can't have non-schach material covering between the schach and the sky. The schach has to be the only barrier between the person living in that sukkah and the sky. So, you've got this gzuz tril shalamala, you've got this overhang on the other side, and the question is, does that count as a sukkah tachat habayit? So, the man writing the letter to Rav Uziel had said, you can't make a dofen akuma. So that's an interesting halacha in sukkah terms to maybe use, maybe not use, but to know about, that the Gemara says that if somebody has completely invalid schach sticking out from the edge of a sukkah, but from where that schach ends to the rest of the sukkah, you can make a whole kosher sukkah, and there's enough schach to make a kosher sukkah, but you need that wall, and you're too distant from that, and you're not like right up against the wall. So the Gemara says you can consider it what's called a dofen akuma. We can visualize the wall as if it bends beyond the schach. Well, there's different ways of reading it. Either the wall bends beyond the schach, or I think Rashi there thinks that it's sort of like the schach itself can be considered, the pasul schach, the invalid schach, can be considered like a wall. And therefore, you have up till arba amot, which is pretty far. You can have like 6 feet worth of that until the actual regular schach, and still count that wall as the wall of your sukkah, as long as you then have a full kosher sukkah. So this is a question of, let's say I'm trying to find a way, halakhically you need to have two walls in a little bit, and I'm finding a way to get walls, and really the best wall for me would be the wall of the house, let's say. But let's say there's an awning that's completely pasul schach, right? A metal awning, and it's not retractable. So I have this awning. But that's the place I really want to build my sukkah. So if that awning is less than dalet amot, that's where the idea of dofen akuma comes in. Meaning, wherever I am, I can build my, beyond that awning, if I can build a valid sukkah, valid in the sense that it has at least 7x7, as we've said, at least 10 tefachim high, 7x7 of schach, and so we're going to build a valid sukkah, we can consider it a dofen akuma. So the man writing the letter to Rav Uziel says, well, we can't do a dofen akuma here, because then we clearly don't have sheer sukkah, right? Well, our problem is we only have 7 tefachim wide. So if we're going to skip these 2 tefachim of this gezustra, of this overhang over the thing, when we don't have hechsher sukkah, we don't have enough skach, enough of a size of a sukkah to be a valid sukkah, and that's our whole problem. So you can't say dofen akuma, because that ignores that part of it completely, and therefore it doesn't count. But Rav Uziel says, but I understand your whole question, really, because we have a clear halacha psuka, that schach pasul, that people don't always know, schach pasul, invalid schach, is not a problem if it's less than 3 tefachim. And 3 tefachim is about a foot, maybe a little less than a foot, maybe more than a foot. I always think about this every year when I see sukkahs or people are building sukkahs and they worry about any open space whatsoever. But open space is certainly no worse than schach pasul, and Rav Uziel is being clear that if it's less than 3 tefachim, we can ignore it. Now, if you have more open space than you have schach, or more schach pasul than you have good schach, that gets to be a problem. So that's a whole different discussion. But you're talking about one particular area of schach pasul, of invalid schach. If it's less than 3 tefachim, even in a minimal sukkah that's only 7x7, you're allowed to ignore it. It's not, here's the point, it's not that it doesn't invalidate the sukkah, that's true, but it's more than that. Right? As the Shulchan Aruch writes, the Uziel quotes, if you have a sukkah that's small, it's only 7 by 7, and you have 3 tfachim of pasul schach, the sukkah is kosher, and you can sleep under that pasul schach, meaning it counts, you can use that pasul schach, and it counts as part of the sukkah l'shir. So, you know, I do this sometimes, if you have pasul schach in a sukkah, sometimes at the edges of a sukkah, people have a problem, they have pasul schach there, and you don't want to sit under it. But the point is, the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins, as long as it's less than 3 tefachim of it, then you don't have a problem. So as long as it's less than a foot, so the question will be how much it is. But as long as it's less than a foot, you wouldn't have a problem. Because we say it's batel. It's completely nullified by the rest of the sukkah, because under 3 tefachim in halacha is considered not considered an amount of space that we have to pay attention to. This comes up in other areas as well. There's a concept called lavud that comes up in many halachic areas that we're allowed to completely ignore less than 3 tefachim of empty space. Comes up in several halachic things. And therefore, Uziel says, when it comes to our overhang in our sukkah, it would have to be 3 tefachim before we would have to worry about it, and less than that, it's kosher. It's so kosher that you can eat under it, you can sleep under it, you can live there. And that's very clear, he says. So then, he says, you might be thinking to yourself that the problem is, there's a Gemara that says, let's say you have a wooden plank that is pasul for schach, and it's pasul in this case because it's wider than 4 tefachim, and the Gemara was worried that people would use, like, basically ceiling. They would build ceilings of wood, which theoretically are valid, but then it looks just like a regular ceiling. So they said if a piece of your schach is wider than 4 tefachim, which is about 16 inches, I think, by the way we calculated it, you know, it's almost a foot and a half. If it's wider than that, you can't use it for schach. So the Gemara says that's true even if you make this, you position this piece of wood such that some of it is outside the sukkah, so that within the sukkah there's less than 3 tefachim. The Gemara said it's still pasul, and they explain that it's still pasul because it's at the fourth wall, as Rashi explains there in the Gemara, and so there's no dofen akuma issues. You can't ignore it, and it seems like. This is Gemara in Sukkah 14b, that the outer part of the schach still counts. So the outer part of the schach still counts. You're saying, well, it's not 3 tefachim anymore. Now we have to think of it as being more than 4 tefachim. So for that Gemara, that's the problem being larger than 4 tefachim. But for this question here, the man is saying, well, only 2 tefachim of this overhang hang over the sukkah itself, but there's more of it on the other side, and that more of it should get in the way, and therefore it's more than 3 tefachim. And when there's more than 3 tefachim, schach pasul, we have to worry about it, and it's a problem, and we can't sleep under it. So that's the situation, right? It's on the other side, you should maybe have to count that, and therefore maybe it should be a problem. But Rav Uziel says it's different, because in the case from that Gemara where we said you're going to count the outside bad schach against the sukkah as a whole, even though it's outside, that's because it's all one long piece of bad schach. But in the case of the sukkah here that we're talking about, the overhang isn't serving as the schach. It's getting the way of schach that's on the sukkah itself. So the 2 tefachim at the edge, this edge of the sukkah, have an overhang over it. Okay, so they're not valid anymore, but they're not valid. They're not invalid by virtue of a problem within themselves. That schach has a problem with it that it's under a solid object. But the fact that solid object also continues out the sukkah, Rav Uziel says, there's no evidence that we have to count that against the sukkah as well, and therefore it's not similar. The case where you have invalid schach, which is invalid on its own because it's a big piece of wood that's more than 4 tefachim wide, and Chazal made a gzeira. Chazal said you're not allowed to use that for schach. So then, even if you put only 2, or you know, only under 3 tefachim over the sukkah, they said, well, but it's all part of the same piece, and therefore you can't use it anyway. But that's different than if I have valid schach somewhere. If it happens to be there's a problem that above my valid schach there's a barrier, so that barrier will make that schach invalid. But the fact that that barrier also continues beyond the sukkah, that's not a problem for me, because that's not part of what Chazal were worried about. I think what he's suggesting is that Chazal worried that I would move that if I have more schach outside the sukkah, it might eventually move it or adjust it, and it'll come in, and then it'll have more than three, and then it'll be a problem, and therefore they didn't want us getting involved in it. But here, in this case, there's no reason to think of that at all, and therefore he thinks that shouldn't be a problem as well. There's no reason why, and therefore, since it's less than three, it's also not mevata the schach, and therefore you can use it and you can sit under it, and therefore it's all good. So therefore, since we've now, Ravaziel says, since I've now said that wall that was two tefachim wide is okay, and this other side where there's an overhang, I've said is okay because it only invalidates two tefachim, and that's less than three, and therefore schach pasul less than three tefachim, invalid schach less than three tefachim, I'm allowed to ignore. It means that the sukkah is kosher lechatchila, and I don't have to get into the question, he says, of whether or not we're allowed to use the square area, because I've already found ways to say the sukkah is valid, meaning that it's a complicated question of the square area issue. It's not so clear we're allowed to do that, but he's found plenty of reason to allow it otherwise. So we have, in the case of a sukkah, we have the reminder that sukkahs have minimum size they need to be. They need to be 7x7 in area, but the Rav Uziel is holding that one. Tables don't take away from that, and therefore usable space that is 10 tefachim above it, if it's serving as a table, doesn't have to count against the size of the sukkah. And two, the reminder that schach pasul, that invalid schach, if it's less than three tefachim, does not count against the sukkah, and it can be used as part of the sukkah as long as the rest of the schach is kosher. So a few interesting points about using a sukkah and building a sukkah, making a minimal sukkah on the holiday of Sukkot, and that is our responsibility for Rav Uziel and the third of Elul. Let me just say, and you can let me know if you notice it. My email is grothst@gmail.com. That today I'm ending a couple of minutes early, and that hopefully makes up for the couple of times I may have gone over by a minute or two. I'm making some of that up now, so I haven't taken away too much of your time. I hope it works out well, and I hope you've enjoyed our discussion with Uziel on sukkah constructions and obstructions, our responsive day for the third of Elul. Have a great day.